Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Democrats have their first candidate for U.S. House. Two-term State Representative Paula Hawks of Hartford announced her candidacy yesterday. The seat is currently held by Republican Kristi Noem. Hawks says she wants to focus on seniors, farmers and ranchers, equality for women, education, and student loan debt. Hawks grew up on a family farm north of Flandreau, taught for 10 years at West Central High School in Hartford, and along with serving in the state legislature, she works as a training specialist in the banking industry, and she joins us on the line. And Representative Hawks, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll start with a basic question. Why are you running for the U.S. House of Representatives?
Well, I'm running because I want to bring back fairness and opportunity to South Dakota, particularly to our students and our senior citizens, as well as those family farmers out there and the women of South Dakota.
So you don't think there's fairness right now?
You know, I think that what one person defines as fairness might be completely different from what another person defines as fairness. And so what I'm looking to do is hear from everybody across the state, everybody that I can get a chance to talk to, and talk to them about what they think fairness is and how we can make that more approachable for everybody.
And how do you define fairness? What are your views of fairness for South Dakota?
You know, I think that when we look at, in particular, let's say, for example, the students in South Dakota who are going to college, and we look at the incredible amount of student debt that they come out of college with, and we look then at the interest rates that are being charged on those student loans that are provided by the government or serviced by the government, and I would not call that fair. I wouldn't call it fair to say that we charge this much to our students when we charge a much lesser rate to the big banks. And so that would be one example of fairness that I'll be looking at.
Now, this is your first statewide campaign. I imagine most South Dakotans are unfamiliar with you. I'd like to give you an opportunity to share a little bit about your background. As I understand, you come from a multi-generational South Dakota family?
I do, absolutely. My great-grandparents and my great-great-grandparents came into South Dakota as farmers, and the family tradition has continued down to my father. I do not currently live on the family farm, but I did grow up on the family farm and went to a small rural school in Flandreau, and I've really just grown up with the roots of South Dakota very deeply embedded. And now I've spent some time teaching in a public school in South Dakota, and now I'm working in business in South Dakota. It's in my blood.
What is it about this background, family background in the farm, your experience teaching, the work that you're doing now in the banking industry, and your time in the legislature as well? What is it about this background, your experiences? What do you think there is there that helps qualify you to be in the U.S. House of Representatives?
I have developed some really great relationships with people from all backgrounds across South Dakota. I have worked as a legislature and peer. I've worked not just with people in my own party, but as you know, we have a fairly good number of Republicans in the legislature. And if you want to accomplish something in the legislature, you have to learn to work with everybody who's there. And so I've developed some strong relationships with those folks, and gotten to a place where we can have conversations and talk about what is going to work for everybody and how we can make it work for everybody in South Dakota. And my experience as a teacher obviously gives me a very good insight into the educational opportunities in South Dakota. And having joined the business industry in the last 3 years, I've gotten a different outlook on how things work, how the economic situation looks in South Dakota, and how different people depend on different things within the state.
That background in the banking industry, what sort of insight have you gotten in the banking industry? You just mentioned that. How are you seeing things perhaps differently than you did before, back when you were a teacher?
You know, when you look at the public school system and the way that runs, obviously very different from a for-profit business that runs in the state. And working in the banking industry has given me some new insight into not just those who are doing investment banking and have a great credit and are doing wonderful things with the banking industry and making money and succeeding, but where I work in particular, we work very heavily with the unbanked and the underbanked. And so I'm getting a good view of how much that impacts the people of South Dakota and what we can do to help them be more successful and make their money work for them.
These terms, unbanked and underbanked, who are they?
Sure. These are folks who, for whatever reason, cannot or do not want to qualify for a standard checking or savings account. And so we find ways to give them financial inclusion that allows them to use their money in a way that is productive for them.
Now, Representative Hawks, going back to your time as a representative, first elected in 2012, why did you decide that you wanted to serve in Pierre as a legislator? What drove you there?
I, at that time, right before I decided to run for the legislature, was working, obviously, in education. I was a high school science teacher, and there were some things going on with the legislature in terms of education reform that I didn't agree with and that I thought that I had a good voice for, and being able to lend my voice to that was important to me, and the best way that I could see to do that was to run for the legislature and become part of that voice.
Have you enjoyed being a part of the state legislature?
Very much. Very much. I enjoy it very much.
And what do you think that you've learned that would help you in Washington? I know you mentioned being able to work across the aisle with Republicans. Do you see that as that experience translating then if you were elected to the U.S. House?
Absolutely. I think that part of the problem that we're seeing in the national government at this time is that there's so much divisiveness in amongst parties, and we're seeing, you know, people holding hard to their party line and not working together, and that's not the instance in every case, but in a lot of cases that is what we're seeing. We're seeing that bipartisanship becoming the main factor, and if we can't all work together and we can't find a way to have conversations that are meaningful instead of spiteful, we're not going to move forward. And so I think that being able to build those relationships is a key issue.
You'd be just one of 435 members. How do you think that you'd be able to make an impact in D.C.? How would you be able to help foster more bipartisanship?
You absolutely have to go out and build those relationships with the people who have the influence, and that's what you have to do. You go out and identify those people, you develop relationships with them, you get them talking to each other, and you facilitate that conversation with them.
Now, looking at the major issues of the day, you've mentioned education. What do you see are some of the other big issues facing South Dakota right now? If you were in Washington, what sort of issues would you get behind to help the people here in your state?
A couple of different things. Like I said, the student debt issue is a big one for me. And women's equity in terms of equal pay for equal work done. And, you know, we have a lot of issues facing our senior citizens, including the price of pharmaceuticals. And so those are some things that I will be putting some time into.
Now, going beyond South Dakota, what about the nation as a whole? You'd be voting on issues that would have an impact on the whole nation. What do you see are the biggest issues for the U.S.?
Right now, you know, one of the biggest movements that I've seen and have been witnessing on TV and across the news is the Black Lives Matter movement. And that's certainly something that we need to be paying attention to, not just in South Dakota, but everywhere across the nation. And you know, included in that is not just the African-American people in our communities, but everybody that is within a suppressed or oppressed minority group. And so that's something that we're certainly going to be paying attention to.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with State Legislator Paula Hawks, who yesterday announced her candidacy for the U.S. House, the seat currently held by Republican Kristi Noam, yesterday President Obama announced his revised clean power plan to help cut greenhouse gas emissions. And in a statement, Representative Kristi Noem criticized the plan. She said the costs associated with the Obama administration's regulations could prove devastating, jeopardizing the reliability and affordability of our electricity. Have you had an opportunity to look at the president's clean power plan, and have you taken a position on that?
I have not had a chance to really dig into that policy. I've obviously seen what everybody else has seen in the news. I do believe that we need to pay attention to clean energy options in our nation and put some effort into finding ways to make those work for us.
Also going on in Congress right now, 60-day review over the Iran nuclear deal. Vote is expected next month on whether to accept or reject it. The president is planning a major speech tomorrow, arguing in favor, obviously, of the international accord. If you were in Congress, do you know how you would vote on that?
I would probably be looking at that agreement in terms of what good it's going to do for the nation and for the world. And right at this point, I would probably be in favor of that.
Now, Representative Noem has waged two successful reelection campaigns, I think two successful so far, against Democratic opponents.
Sure.
Looking at just in the first couple of days of your campaign, what do you think you need to do over the next year plus to be competitive and persuade voters that you should be sent to Washington?
Right. You know, as with any campaign, it's going to be essential that I do some fundraising, a lot of fundraising. That's part of any campaign. So I will be spending a lot of time getting out and getting to know people and talking to them, and more than talking to them, listening to what they have to say to me, listening to what issues are important to them, and finding out how we can find resolutions to those issues. And in the process, gaining their support by listening to them, hearing what they have to say, and working with them to find those solutions.
And what is it that you're doing during these first few weeks of your campaign, now that you've officially made your announcement?
I'm making lots of phone calls, getting in touch with key supporters across the state, and getting my name out there and getting some events on the schedule so that I can get out there and meet people face-to-face.
What do you think it takes to get people excited about your candidacy, particularly given the difficulties Democrats have had in the past couple of elections here in South Dakota?
You know, I have a deep passion for what I do, and I think when people talk to someone with a deep passion for what they do, that passion is contagious. And when you're excited about what you're doing and you're excited about the things you're talking about, people can see that, and they can see that you are genuine and that you are truly looking to do what's best for the people you're talking to. And so with that, you know, with that genuine conversational behavior, you're able to connect with people. And when you make that connection, that's really what's important.
So you'll be hitting the road and getting to every county in the state and talking to as many people as you can?
Absolutely.
Do you expect this to be, I don't know if I want to use the word fun, politics can be a tough game, but do you come at this with a sense of excitement and maybe turning this into something fun? You know, there's a lot of cynicism about politics these days.
I think that if I was not having fun with what I was doing in politics, I wouldn't be continuing to do what I'm doing. I do think it is fun. I think it's a great opportunity for me to get to know people, and getting to know people for me is a lot of fun. And so if I keep approaching it with that optimistic attitude of this is going to be fun, then it will be for me. And right now I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying hearing from the folks who are very excited about my campaign. And I'm enjoying the prospect of getting out there and meeting a lot of new people.
Well, Representative Hawks, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Dakota Midday, and look forward to talking with you some more as the campaign gets underway over the next year and a half.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks, Carl.